Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people deliver truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, S-I-M-A International, for inspired performance.
Join the team from SEMA International on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, here on 104.1 The Truth.
Well, here we are again on Circles of Change. And just a reminder, our call-in line locally is 751-1041. That's pretty easy to remember. Or toll-free, it's 877-544-2580. I also have the internet up here, so you can send me an email to change@thelarsongroup.com. And, of course, Jen would want me to give out a text message number, so that's 520-668-9935 for texting. So, with that, welcome on the line, Marlis Hansen from SEMA International. Hello, Marlis.
Hello.
Great. Well, I mean, you know, it's a little cooler here in Tucson. How's everything in California?
It is raining and cool here this morning, so we're glad, though. We need the moisture badly.
That's right. It'll probably come our way on the next wave. Well, Marlis, I said in the introduction to the show that you and I were going to go into this idea of identifying leadership potential and the importance of making that distinction between those who are really, really good at what they do as individual contributors and even the distinction of people who manage or supervise. So, you know, why do you think we need to make those distinctions even?
Well, as we know, it's this idea of identifying the potential and getting the right person in the right seat is so important in today's economy because of the limited profit margins and, you know, the competitive nature that most businesses find, you know, in the marketplace. And so making mistakes with people who are their high performers is really costly. And whenever I hear people talking about identifying high potential and, you know, starting a high potential program, I always like to ask the question, high potential for what?
For what, yes.
Because, as we know, potential comes in many forms. And there's really a great misunderstanding about that. I always like to quote the Gallup research on this topic. They have interviewed, I believe, around 800,000 managers and have years of research and really can show that there's no correlation between being a good performer and a good manager. And, of course, we know that that's the classic issue here, that this misunderstanding, thinking that just because the person has performed well in their current role, you know, be that an engineer or a nurse or a technician or really any occupation or profession, we cannot assume that they're also going to perform well in the next role, which may be more of a supervisory or managerial kind of role.
And I think the other piece of it is they may not deep in their heart even want to do that, but the dynamics of organizations and sometimes the reward and recognition structure drives them to, quote, have to, you know, the social pressure, where they might otherwise be totally fulfilled and actually vital, vital contributors to the organization staying in an individual contributor role.
Yes, that's a very powerful dynamic, as well as their individual employees sense that they really want to do and to become whatever the manager or the organization wants or needs them to be. They feel compelled.
Yeah. Compelled to,
you know, to meet that need. And so here we have people who really may know better in terms of what they really like to do and what they know they're good at, but they feel that, one, there's really, you know, a push to move in that direction because of the rewards and the need of the employer. And also our culture is really quite steeped in this becoming sort of dynamic, too. I mean, there's just a whole lot of training and programs and, and influence that says, you know, you can become anything that you want to be or anything that anybody else wants you to be. So there's several myths here that really confuse, you know, this issue. And so we see a lot of organizations spending a lot of time and money and, you know, creating a lot of frustration for their top performers by not understanding, you know, the difference between the nature of potential that might be being expressed in the performance.
Well, I think the other thing we struggle with, too, is that organizations have a tendency to say, you know, here's all the round holes that we have in the organization, so to speak. And, gee, you know, you're kind of square. So I think we're going to send you to this class to help you kind of round off those rough edges so then that you will fit. As opposed to saying, gee, how can we celebrate one another's shape or squareness, whatever, and then determine how to get that best fit opportunity to make those things come together. And whether that's an individual contributor or indeed, you know, put people on that manager to supervisor track being so important.
Right. And this is really where I think the individual has a great, not only opportunity, but a responsibility
yes.
to step up, you know, and not to be waiting for the organization or their manager to figure them out or discover the nature of their talents, you know, put a plan on their plate that's going to use their talents, but in the reverse, be ready to converse with your supervisor to, you know, inform him or her about the nature of your talents and how those talents can be used to meet the pressing business needs. So that requires, you know, investigation really on two ends, on looking at your own capabilities and really being very able to describe, you know, concisely and accurately what you bring to the party, and also to be able to know what the organization needs so you can put those two things together.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you also have to be astute to the landscape of where you sit, because I'm sure some of our listeners are sitting here saying, you know, look, I'm just grateful to have a job doing the task that I've got at hand, and this whole concept of ongoing personal growth and progression may be a little bit dicey right now to think about. But on the flip side right now, there's no finer opportunities to look for places where the company wouldn't even know they need a value input, right? That there is a possibility to grow in a different way.
Right. And if you're the employee who is, you know, taking the initiative to really figure out how you can best be, you know, your talents can best be used, you know, you're going to be a more valuable employee in the eyes of that organization than someone who's just sitting back and taking things as they come along. So, you know, really the time is very ripe for stepping forward and making sure that, you know, your talents are being best leveraged and used to the organization's advantage.
Well, I think you also make a very good point. I think a lot of people are under this misconception that, you know, there's some magic book or system there that's going to understand and plot my career or the next steps I might take. And it's really, and it probably has been this way a long time, that no, maybe for some that's on the horizon, but for most, it's our responsibility to take charge of navigating our own career. Well, Marlis, the idea of, and I'm sure, again, our listeners are saying, yeah, but I don't know if I'm equipped with the right vocabulary to be able to communicate even what you and I are suggesting needs to be brought to the fore. So give us some thoughts. This is obviously the place where the self-reflection and the SEMA process is so powerful.
Right, and it's the, you know, the kind of the heart of the work that I've been doing for the last 30 years mm-hmm. is really to help prepare both individuals and managers for this conversation. Because you're just right, Zara, that when people come to this, to that table without preparation, you know, it can be a disaster mm-hmm. because the conversation can really go awry. But if the individual comes in actually being very clear about their motivations and having good examples to illustrate
yes.
things that they have done, that really, you know, makes a difference. And so that requires some work. And I really would recommend that every individual, you know, you owe it to yourself really to sit down and go through this process. You know, for $20, you can get a copy of the book Passion and Purpose. It has it all defined, the steps of, you know, how you go about this, how you develop a chronology of your life work achievements, and then you pick eight to ten of those that you have really enjoyed doing and really felt you did well. Then take the time to develop the detail around those, you know, talking about how you got involved, what you really did, how you knew what to do, what part of it was most satisfying, and then sit down and look at, you know, what are the recurring themes here, and what can you see that has worked for you in the past that's going to work for you in the future, and what really taps into your talent and your passion.
And by the
way,
this
laid out.
In your book, in fact, I wanted to make a comment, is that, Marlis, I know people are listening because, as you and I have talked about, that your book sales has taken a real
exponential step up after each radio show you come on. So I know listeners are picking up on it. So others of you who are listening that may not have become familiar with Marlis and Marlis's work, it's called Passion and Purpose, and you can get it out on Amazon.com. And it's H-A-N-S-O-N. This self-study process is really a great one. You know, it's funny because, of course, both of you and I do some coaching around using this methodology, too. It was interesting. I was walking a very senior manager through his process, and he wanted to spend so much time talking about how he'd always dreamed about climbing that big oak tree in the backyard when he was a kid. And so he told that story, and then he jumped to one that was later in his professional life. And suddenly he went click, and he says, oh my goodness, I'm the same that I was when I was a kid. And so the idea of playing to that then in the next venue, or to be more of who you are, not less, is really what we're talking about here.
And that is, seeing those themes is really what gives it the process credibility for the individual, and it also gives them confidence to step forward with this portrayal of themselves, because they can see the recurring evidence in their achievements throughout their life, and it makes them appear much more confident in their interviewing and much more strategic in their discussions. So it's a powerful, it's very simple, but it's very powerful in terms of application.
Yeah, and Marlis, I'm sure we've got people there that are listening today that are also the managers or supervisors of people. How could they position this experience up for one of their direct reports or someone that they're coaching? From the manager's perspective,
the most common way that we ask managers to approach this is if they're working with an employee, to just say that it would be very helpful to them if the individual had was able to come to them with a plan for their both their use and their development that was really based on their motivations, that they have heard of this. Of this methodology that really looks for evidence of past performance and how it's predictive of future performance, and it's something that they'd like them to try, and to encourage them, the employee, then to go through the process, and come up with four or five things that they really believe they enjoy doing and feel they do well, and ways to use that in their current job.
Yeah, so it's the idea of them coming forward again, taking the initiative and planting some of those seeds of possibility.
Yes. And the manager can also, by increasing their own awareness of these motivations and the power of using them, they can also help to form and suggest job responsibilities that's going to use, the person's talents. Because often the manager has a perspective about what needs to be done that the employee doesn't possess.
And it isn't maybe that direct manager, but there might be others across the organization, depending on the size of the company, that with the right support from your direct supervisor, you could network and get some broader perspectives yourself and help kind of cross these boundaries within companies.
Absolutely. And the more, as we say, the more that you know about yourself and you're able to put on the table in terms of ideas of how to best use your talents, the better able you are to engage others, in that conversation in a really meaningful way. And you don't take so much of their time.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Marlis, we started the discussion out and not, kind of pinning this idea of around individual contributors versus managers and supervisors. So what do you think the evidence of potential for leadership of management looks like?
Okay, that's a really good question, Zara. People always say, well, do you think I have potential for management?
Yeah.
What are you looking for, when you make those kinds of assessments? And in my book, I think it's page 114, there's a list of kind of a self-assessment on, do I have potential for management? And it's a series of questions that you just, you shouldn't just answer yes or no, but you really should go through this exercise of, defining your achievements, and then you look for evidence. Do I really have evidence of these things? So here are about four things that, are kind of the top that there should be evidence for in your motivations if you really have potential for management. Number one is probably evidence of working with people. And lots of people, folks say, well, I like people. People like me, that kind of thing. Well, it's more than that. This is evidence of working with people in the way that you get things done through them. You get involved with them. You oversee their work. You actively manage them. So it's people, both individual and groups, as a subject matter, something you're really interested in. There's also a criteria I think that's very important, and that's one of being able to not only operate in situations that are fairly ambiguous and unstructured, but being able to provide that structure and definition for other people. Because employees come to you and they expect you to be able to tell them what it is you want or expect from them.
And in fact, I would even take it to the next level, is you not only operate it and provide the structure, but that you love to live in the ambiguity. That's taking it up a whole nother level.
Yes, that's a very comfortable milieu for you.
Yes.
But you can also provide structure. We often find people who like the unstructured fluid situations, but then they are not motivated to provide structure for other people, and that doesn't work either.
Right, that's right.
Influencing and leading. We always say, look behind you. Is anyone following you? That will give you a good idea of whether you have the opportunity, the motivation to lead, or convince or persuade, even to confront others on their performance. That management is really, a profession that requires influencing motivation. And if that's not part of who you are, then it would be a career of frustration for you, because it's so integral to the operation itself, to just the whole process of management. Then lastly, and there's several more there, but I won't go through all of them, but decision-making is a very important motivation. The individual should be motivated to make timely decisions, without having concrete data. And, for example, we often see with the researchers, engineers and scientists are very motivated to make decisions based on hard data, analytical kinds of processes and hard data. But when they get into a situation where they're working with people and there really isn't, you don't have the same kind of hard data.
You bet, absolutely.
They often get into what we call analysis paralysis.
We know that very well. Well, Marlis, thank you very much for those key 4 points. Again, for our listeners, Passion and Purpose is her book. And she'll, as always, join us next month along with other colleagues from SEMA International between then and now. Marlis, have a happy holiday. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Zara. You have a good holiday, too.
You do. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Do you lead an organization, a business, company, a nonprofit? Imagine if your people delivered truly inspired performance day in and day out. Well, it can happen. The challenge lies in knowing what motivates your people. That's where SEMA International comes in. They unlock the mystery and the magic of human motivation. To learn more, visit SEMAInternational.com, SIMA International, for inspired performance.